Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Rhonda Branham here along with my co-host and companion for life, Monica Seifert. We're so happy to have you along with us today here in this beautiful and grace-filled time of the holy season of Advent. Well, not only are we preparing our minds and hearts to celebrate the fulfillment of that most glorious prophecy from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 18, verses 14 to 15, for when peaceful stillness compassed everything and the night in its swift course was half spent, your all-powerful word from heaven's royal throne bounded, a fierce warrior into the doomed land. We are also readying our hearts to commemorate the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception and the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, both coming up within the week. These days of December are marked with plenty of occasions to celebrate the gift of life, the gift of children, the gift of motherhood and fatherhood, and the gift of family. The popular secular Christmas song, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," is right on the mark. Preparing for and celebrating the birth of a child is one of the most wonderful and incredible moments of life, and how our poor world needs to be reminded of this. Well, our dear Lord is raising up many dedicated pro-life warriors to help with this end, and one of those souls will be joining us shortly to talk about his apostolate work at the Pro-Life Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in St. Joseph, Missouri, and at the National American Holocaust Memorial in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. But first things first, let's get started by way of prayer.
Mother Mary, as you carried your divine child in your womb, you rejoiced and glorified the Lord. Touch with pity the hearts of those women who are pregnant and who think of murder, not motherhood. Help them to see that the child they carry is made in God's image, as well as theirs, made for eternal life. Dispel their fears and selfishness, and give them true womanly hearts to love their babies and give them birth, and all the needed care that a mother alone can give. Inspire all of us to support and nurture a culture of life, a culture in which no man or woman would even consider ending the life of a child yet unborn. Mary, Mother of Christ, show us all, one day, the blessed fruit of your womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee. Amen.
And now, this week's in the news.
According to Life News, a new study by two American economists shows that being married and having children are a big deterrent to criminal activity. Maxim Massenkoff and Evan Rose, both doctoral candidates in economics at the University of California, released their paper, Family Formation and Crime, that examines the connection between the incidence of pregnancy, childbirth, and marriage, and the incidence of crime. The two researchers collected information on over 1 million births, and using data in the state of Washington, matched records on criminal offenses, births, marriages, and divorces. In the author's own words, they said, "Our event study analysis indicates that pregnancy triggers sharp declines in crime, rivaling any known intervention. For mothers, criminal offending drops precipitously in the first few months of pregnancy, stabilizing at half of pre-pregnancy levels 3 years after the birth. Men show a smaller but still important 25% decline beginning at the onset of pregnancy, although domestic violence arrests spike for fathers immediately after birth. And marriage, according to the researchers, is a stopping point marking the completion of roughly 50% decline in offending for both men and women." Pro-life and pro-family leaders are calling the study another wake-up call for America to recover its sense of the importance of marriage, children, and family life in maintaining a safe and just society. And the president of the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, John Stone Street, has penned an article lamenting how Americans now have more dogs than children. Stone Street outlined how a higher percentage of American households own dogs dogs than ever before, 90 million of them. By contrast, there are just over 73 million children. Even though that may still sound like a lot of children, Stone Street wrote, as a percentage of the population, children are becoming rarer, and according to government projections, by 2050, children will make up less than a quarter of the population. Stone Street added that dropping birth rates correspond to a drop in marriages, and with that, a drop in happiness. According to the General Social Survey in 2018, Americans are more miserable than they've ever been in decades, and replacing family with dogs isn't reversing the trend, he said. For a society like ours, one in the midst of family and happiness shortages, the solution is obvious, but it won't be found at the dog part, Stone Street concluded. And a national television audience heard firsthand the implications of abortion when a Fox Sports announcer told viewers that the mother of Ohio State running back J.K. Dobbins had walked out of an abortion center while pregnant with him after changing her mind. In a huge rivalry game between Ohio State and Michigan on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, Dobbins rushed for 211 yards and 4 touchdowns. Following a replay of Dobbins' final touchdown of the game, Fox announcer Gus Johnson said, J.K. Dobbins' mom, Maya Grounds, became pregnant when she was 18 years old. She went to the doctor because she was thinking about aborting the baby, but changed her mind. That baby turned out to be that young man, J.K. Dobbins, who she calls her miracle baby. Abortion supporters quickly fell into a frenzy and rage over Johnson's relaying of the story, even calling for his firing. But Dobbins' life story touched a nerve because it is just more proof that abortion does kill an innocent unborn child. And finally, around 25 unborn children were killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Since abortions were not done last week because of the Thanksgiving holiday, the number was expected to be significantly higher. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were on hand all day Thursday to pass out blessing bags offering love, hope, and help to the women and couples going in. At least 4 women ended up not going through with the abortion appointment and are seen as hopefuls in choosing life. Please continue to pray daily for all abortion-minded women and their families. And that's your weekly In the News. Well, Rhonda, for the past nearly 30 years, there's been a powerful prayer effort afoot that, unfortunately, I think a lot of people don't even know about. It's called the National Night of Prayer for Life, and it's held every year in churches across the country from 9 p.m. on the evening of the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception until 1 a.m. on December 9th, the Feast of St. Juan Diego. Now, this National Night of Prayer for Life includes adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Rosary, the prayer to St. Michael, as well as the singing of hymns and opportunities to spend some quiet time in prayer. And we are blessed to have had this event for the past several years here in Bloomington at St. Charles Parish in the Adoration Chapel there with Father Tom Kovach at the helm. And we want to do our best to spread the word about this vitally important prayer effort and try to get more people to participate in it this year. Now, I know the timing of this event is inconvenient, right? I mean, 9 p.m. until 1 a.m. when most of us would rather be sleeping in bed. Well, this is meant to be inconvenient. Abortion is around precisely because women and men want a convenient way out of what might be a very challenging situation. In other words, abortion is all about convenience. So one of the best ways that we can counter this and gain many graces for our world, plus make some good reparation, is by inconveniencing ourselves and doing some tough things like this National Night of Prayer for Life. It's good for us and we'll gain many special graces.
Well, the National Night of Prayer for Life got its inspiration because it was on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception in 1531 that Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patroness of the Americas and of the unborn, first appeared as St. Juan Diego. The National Night of Prayer for Life bridges the Feast of the Immaculate Conception on December 8th and the Feast of St. Juan Diego on December 9th. All nations throughout the world are actually invited to participate as we beg our Blessed Mother to protect the unborn and the family, to renew the church, and to establish peace. Now, this year, December 8th falls on Sunday, and since the second Sunday of Advent takes precedence, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception has been transferred to Monday, December 9th. But the National Night of Prayer for Life will still take place on the evening of December 8th, again beginning at 9 p.m. until 1 a.m. on Monday, December 9th. There is a format for each hour, and Father Tom Kovach will be there to lead the prayers in the Adoration Chapel at St. Charles. If you don't think you can make it for all of the hours, come for at least one or two of those hours.
And you know, anytime that we are in adoration during the night, especially in those wee hours of the morning, it can feel like Christmas. We're like the shepherds who were watching over their flocks by night and were brought the good news of the birth of their Savior by an angel of the Lord. They were told that they would find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Well, we are called to adoration too, like those shepherds, and we find our Savior wrapped not in bands, but instead swaddled in a monstrance. And of course, the babe lying in a manger, a feeding trough for animals, prefigured the most holy Eucharist, the bread of life. So this National Night of Prayer is pregnant with the deeper meanings and joys of our faith. And so we really don't want to miss this opportunity, because it's not only a chance for us to help end abortion, but it's also a time of many graces and blessings to be imparted upon us and our own families as well.
So again, the 30th Annual National Night of Prayer for Life takes place this Sunday, December 8th, starting at 9 p.m. in the Adoration Chapel at St. Charles Parish here in Bloomington, as we unite ourselves in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament with Catholics around the country and world until 1 a.m. on Monday, December 9th. Father Tom Kovach will lead us in the Holy Rosary and other prayers for an end to abortion. All you need to do is show up for any or all hours and bring your love for life. Well, let's move on and get to our special guest for today's show, Mr. Richard Mahoney, who is joining us by phone to tell us about the Pro-Life Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, as well as the National American Holocaust Memorial. Hi, Richard, and welcome to Pro-Life to the Max.
Viva Cristo Rey. Glad to be here.
Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Richard, why don't we start off first by having you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the pro-life movement.
Well, that's a long story, but I'll try to make it quick.
Okay.
Well, you know, I was born of a typical Irish Catholic family in New York, New York. The love of God was genuine, and the duty to God, family, and country were installed in us from a very young age, which sadly began to disintegrate in the 1970s. As changes in the church and world caused many Catholics in New York to abandon their faith for utilitarian secular humanism. Prosperity and independence became the idol that replaced God in the hearts of most Catholics, including many in my own family. But we were taught a holy fear of God and to reject sin. And, you know, the duty and burning love for God wasn't taught us as much as it should have been, but we did definitely had a strong sense of, you know, God and family. And I really started learning about, I guess you'd say, pro-life when I graduated college, because up until that time, I never even heard about abortion, other than once in my life, I think I heard in the deepest, darkest holes of New York City, the most vile of vile would actually go in and kill a baby in the womb. And, you know, that shocked us as a youth. It just, wow, who could do such a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. But when I graduated college that there were actually death camps, murder mills, where they mass kill innocent babies, 30 to 60 children a day in these death camps, I was shocked to the core. I mean, my world changed. I could not believe what I was hearing. And I went to one of these death camps in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And when I looked at it, I couldn't believe it. I just had a flashback to Nazi Germany, because when I went to Catholic school from literally first grade to 12th grade, they used to show us films of the Nazi Holocaust. And they didn't do this to scare us as children. They did this to show us what happens without God. Without the grace of God, you can do nothing but evil, and how depraved a society and a nation will become without God, without that compass of truth and faith. And so my world changed. I said, I cannot live in a nation that kills its own children. As the St. John Paul II said, and Mother Teresa said, a nation that kills its own children is a nation without hope. So I prayed, and God said, take a crucifix and go in front of the death camp. And say, look what the shedding of innocent blood has done to your Savior. And the women would come in, and I would tell them, are you a Christian? And sadly to say, 99% of the people that over the last 40 years, hundreds of thousands of women I've seen going into abortion clinics, 99% tell me, yes, I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm. We see that same thing here in Bloomington, yeah, too. It is a surprising that the number that are really Christians, isn't it? Yeah.
But I say to them, does God ever make a mistake? And they say, well, no, God never makes a mistake. And I say, well, then why do you think your baby is such a mistake that you're going to pay an assassin to kill your child? God said, blessed is the fruit of the woman, not cursed. Satan says, curse your woman. Satan does not want your baby to be baptized. That's why he doesn't want the baby to be born. And, you know, we've lost a lot of the truths of the Holy Roman Catholic Church in our country, which were instilled in us. I thank God I was born in the 50s because we know the truths, and we have a basis for our not only truth, but morality. And we're losing that. And the priests are afraid to speak the total truth. You know, there's only one of six sins that you can be excommunicated for, and that one is killing a baby in the womb, or even suggesting, if somebody asks you, can I have an abortion, and you say yes to them, you are de facto excommunicated. Now, I could kill a million children, and I wouldn't be excommunicated. Why are you excommunicated if you kill a child in the womb? It's because you've prevented that child from baptism and the beatific vision.
Wow.
Now, that child is in a natural state of happiness in heaven, but we've lost the fact that only through baptism, only through the Catholic faith and the sacraments do we receive the beatific vision. And that the whole new show, we have to go into that, because, you know, most people will not even go there because they say, oh, no, you can't say that. Well, no, that's Catholic truth. And I have many things and many sick curses to back that up. And that's a whole different show. But anyway, I prayed, and God said, if you persevere in prayer, this death camp will be a Holocaust memorial one day, where people will see what happens when they deny God, deny truth. And so we prayed many years, almost 10 years, in front of this death camp in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the most infamous death camp in the country. In fact, the man who owned it, Leroy T. Brinkley, is the same guy who hired Godstown in Philadelphia to do his late-term abortions in Delaware and Philadelphia. And we prayed, and after, to make a long story short, it's all on our website. In fact, let me give the listeners the websites to go to, www.cpforlife.org/memorial. That's the site for the American Holocaust Memorial. And the other one is www.prolifeshrine.org. That's the Pro-Life Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. And this is what we're about to talk today is very lengthy. Matter of fact, we could spend 2 weeks just delving into this, but there's certain things we'll go on to this show. But anyway, so we prayed, and one day I was at Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and I asked our Lord, how long? And he said, take a picture of Our Lady Guadalupe and consecrate this death camp to Our Lady Guadalupe, and it were close. So I went out to the Catholic stores to get a nice picture of Our Lady Guadalupe, and none of them had it. They only had little cards. Back in that time, 1980s, early 90s, you know, we had a great devotion to Our Lady of Fatima, but the Lady devotion to Our Lady Guadalupe is just beginning. And so I looked all day. I couldn't find one, and a friend of mine says, what's the matter, Rich? I said, well, I looked all day for a picture of Our Lady Guadalupe to consecrate, to have Father Kafasi consecrate this death camp, this infamous death camp where tens of thousands of babies were murdered. You can see pictures on our site. Go to virtual tour. And the place was closed. And so, anyway, I wish I could help. He said, wait a second. You promise you won't get mad at me? I said, yeah, I promise. He said it again. You promise you won't get mad at me? I said, again, I promise. A third time, he said, you promise you won't get mad at me? I said, I promise. He said, well, I have one in the attic, but it's been there for 20, 30 years. And it may be ruined because my attic doesn't even have an attic fan. I said, what? He said, you promise you want to get mad at me? I said, okay. So we went up in the attic. He brought it down. And it had some damage, but it was beautiful. And it was 3 foot by 6 foot. It was a copy of one of the originals in Mexico at the Shrine of Holy Guadalupe. And I said, we'll have to decoupage it. So preserve it. And so we did. We decoupaged it, put it on a board, and put a gold trim around it. And we noticed when we decoupaged it that colors returned. They had faded being in the attic for 30 years. And the colors had returned. And we said, does decoupage make color come out? And so we called the art student. And he said, no, the opposite. Decoupage will make it. People want to antique something, they put decoupage on and it fade. So we knew this was miraculous. So anyway, we took the picture of Lady Guadalupe and consecrated this death camp, the Delta death camp, to Lady Guadalupe. Father Cressy offered the Holy Sacrifice of Mass, did the ex the Divine Mercy, Rosary, and the federal government, through a lawsuit, Tommy Watson, had seized the murder mill right after that and put it up for a writ of levy and execution for auction because they wouldn't pay the fine for dispensing narcotics illegally. In fact, it's the same thing that caught Gosnell up in Philadelphia. I guess they never learned their lesson. It wasn't killing babies that got him in jail. Initially, it was dispensing narcotics illegal. So, you know, the same players, and this is all on our website. In fact, we'll go into this later. There's a congressional probe. There's an investigation of the most egregious child molestation cover-up in U.S. history, egregious medical malpractice. And like I say, it's all on our website. Yes.
And this is all at that Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana abortion center, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a chain of those abortion clinics. We'll go into that later. But anyway, so we went in at this federal auction, and we bought the death camp and then threw the murders out. They were in there when I went in. Matter of fact, when I went in, the police thought I was doing a rescue because I had rescued there many times before, and they arrested me. And I said, no, I just bought this place. I'm the owner now. I had them thrown out that day, and we saw how the rooms were. So we kept the rooms as they were. So people could see the Holocaust. Matter of fact, the blood stains on the floors and the walls were still there, and people could see the blood. And we have a picture of their blood cries out of an aborted baby as you go into the rooms that they kill in. And so that began that phase. But there's a long, long history into that. Matter of fact, we prayed every day in front of that death camp for nearly a decade.
Okay, so it took about a decade.
Yes. And, well, we know this. When we know our faith and live our faith and are willing to make sacrifice and reparation, God acts. It took a tremendous amount of prayer, fasting, and penance, which Our Lady Guadalupe took to the throne of God, and when the number of prayers, the number of rosaries, the number of sacrifices and adorations were greater than the number of people going into that death camp, that's when we won. When we finished, when we would finally place was bought, there was only a handful of people praying in front of that death camp. And at one time, thousands of people were praying in front of it. The most had left because this battle is an intense battle, spiritual warfare. And as a friend of mine says, you don't kick a dog in his own backyard. When you go to a death camp, you are going to Satan's house, literally. In fact, many people did satanic worship there while they killed the babies. In fact, we have documented evidence of that. There was a lot of Wiccans there as death escorts, and the whole history. Like I said, people can see on the website. But we persevered, and our Lord always keeps His promise. Where God is, the devil can't be. And if you persevere at any of these death camps, it will not only close, you are wrecked over those murder mills, like they did in Italy, over the sites where the pagans offered sacrifice. They build churches and basilicas. We build memorials over these sites so that we never forget. Just like Auschwitz or Dachau, this American Holocaust Memorial is a site where people can witness the Holocaust.
Do you get a lot of people pilgrimages there then?
Well, we have school groups and church groups come. A lot of people come in thinking it's the Jewish Holocaust.
Yeah, that's
memorial.
True. If they say Holocaust,
no, this is the American Holocaust world. But anyway, the people that come mostly are from out of town. And do you know why?
No, why?
Just think about it. You live in a town where hundreds of thousands of babies are murdered with impunity. And what did the Allies have to do when they got into Poland and to Germany? They actually took machine guns and told the people in those towns, you're going to walk through these death camps or we're going to shoot you right on the spot. And so they did. The whole town would walk through like a concentration camp to see what they allowed. What they allowed, where hundreds and thousands of people were being massacred. They sat by idly and did absolutely nothing. Well, if you lived in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and hundreds of thousands of babies were slaughtered, you're going to walk into the death camp and see what you allowed? You know, when I was a kid and we were showing these pictures of the Nazi Holocaust in these films, I thought to myself, what were the people doing in Germany? What were the people doing in the...
Right, I think we all ask that, right? We all say, bad, like, if I was alive during that time, I wouldn't have allowed that to go on, right? We have that thinking.
The motto in Germany was Volkswagen in every garage. And Clinton Obama said, it's about money, stupid. You know, people don't care about God. In fact, our idol is football. On Sunday, more people go to football games than go to church. They spend $93 billion just on betting on football games. And we can't even keep our churches open because we have a different idol. And so, you know, this is sad. So I vowed, I said, you know, I saw those Nazi Holocaust. As a matter of fact, I prayed to God that, if we do not stop this evil in my lifetime, please let me die with these babies, fighting for them. There's two calls for every Christian, every baptized Christian in this country. There's two calls. One call to the foot of the cross, beneath the cross, and that's at this death camp. And the other call is to be on the cross, literally with our Lord, to be victim souls, to be martyrs. But, you know, you'll see people ask me the first day I was in front of the abortion clinic, they asked me, what are you doing here? I said, I'm at the foot of the cross, and I will not let our Lord die alone or these little babies die alone. And I said, the Blessed Virgin Mary here, St. John here, and a few holy women, but most Christianity has fled. Matter of fact, if you read the account of the crucifixion, the two accounts, one is with Blessed Mother and the holy woman beneath the cross, St. John beneath the cross. The other one is they said they were, the women that had assisted him were watching from where? Afar. Why were they watching from afar? Because it was safe. Matter of fact, go to the foot of the cross meant, like Peter, you're one of them. You're going to be crucified too. But only a handful of women and St. John had the courage because they wanted, if necessary, to die with our Lord. They didn't want him to be abandoned. But most of Christianity is like the second account where we watch from afar. Is it safe? People ask me all the time, is it safe to go to the abortion clinic?
Right, we hear that too.
I say, no, it's not safe. 50, 60 people are going to be murdered today. Matter of fact, I'm left alive to tell you about it. It's a shame that I wasn't killed that day. I said, is it safe? No, it's not safe. Babies are dying. And we know where, we know the time, and we know who's doing it. In fact, Bishop Sheen, hopefully Saint Sheen soon, said the tragedy of America is this. In other countries, when they do these atrocities, dictators force people to do it under the pain of torture and death. In this country, we vote the madmen in who murder babies. We vote for the party of death.
Let's say, Mr. Richard Mahoney, we're going to have to end that conversation right there because we're running short on time. And you've given us just with that a lot of good information and much to think about. And we haven't even gotten to the National Pro-Life Memorial yet. So if you're willing and able, we'd like to continue this discussion into next week's program. So does that sound good?
That's good. We might have to do five programs because I haven't even started yet.
Well, we've got a big week.
I haven't said a thing.
Well, we've got a big week coming up with the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, which has been transferred to Monday, December 9th. And then on December 12th, we've got the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of the unborn, and of the new evangelization. There are many graces to be had, so let's do all we can to collect as many as possible for the glory of God, for the building up of a culture of life and purity, and for the salvation of souls. Don't forget about the National Night of Prayer for Life in the Adoration Chapel at St. Charles Parish from this Sunday evening at 9 p.m. until Monday morning at 1 a.m. We hope to see you there. We'll have Richard Mahoney back with us next week. Until then, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.